Welcome back. Trent Luce rolling into the final segment. Before we get back to Angel Cushing, I just want to take a moment and remind you about Tracer Minerals. All living things need the right chelated minerals. And by the way, chelated minerals come from nature. That's a true story. That's why they work so well. Not fabricated, formulated. They come from nature. More details about the Tracer Minerals for your cows, your sows, or yourself on the web, TracerMinerals.com. You can get them loose, or we can find some products that contain Tracer Minerals, and that's a great way to go as well. Now back to the freedom fighter like no other from the Flint Hills of Kansas, Angel Cushing, who I got to get her on here more often, to be honest. Oh, you know what? Somebody made fun of me, and they make fun of me all the time, but it doesn't matter what vest I'm wearing. I've always got these handy. You see what these are?
Well, there's too much light on them. What are you showing me here?
Still too much light. Salt packets.
Yes. Salt packets. Gotcha.
Anytime, okay. Angel, anytime I get the feeling, you know, sometimes you get this stomach issue where it's not really a stomach ache. It's just like something's not quite right, or maybe you drank too much water or whatever. I just take one of these salt packets, open it up, consume it, and boom, within no time you're feeling better. This is one of God's miracles, and people overlook how important it really is.
Or attack it. So I actually keep it in my truck. I don't keep it on me. It's in my vehicles and everywhere, but I'm the same way. So with me, it's the bones in my teeth where the roots of your teeth sink into your jaw. When I get low on salt, my lips get really chapped and I get cold sores and my teeth literally start hurting. Now, I found that the best cure for that is a margarita heavily salted, but but in case you're driving, you should probably stop and pick up something else you can salt.
You know where this came to me for two reasons. Before refrigeration, how did people preserve their food?
Salt.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking that if salt preserves food, i.e. salt preserves meat, I'm mostly meat, so it's probably good for preserving me too. But the other thing that I was out in my pasture one day dumping salt in a salt tub for my cows, and I'm like, why do we give ad lib salt to cows and we minimize the amount of salt we consume? That makes no sense whatsoever. So that's when I start packing salt at all times.
So I didn't realize it until one day I heavily salted my margarita and instantly all the pain in my mouth went away. And so then I started paying attention. But before that, I was actually at the coffee table with some old timers, and one of the wives had just gotten up and left, and she reminded everybody that the old timers doctor said that he couldn't have any more salt, his blood pressure was too high. And so as he's salting his eggs, I reminded him of that. And you know what he said to me? He said, you know what happened when I eliminated my salt the first time that they told me my blood pressure was going up? And I said, what? He said, not a thing. It went up anyway. Yeah. So that's an excellent point.
And yet his wife is still harping on him about using too much salt. That's how ingrained it has become in our society.
Yes.
Yeah. So I want to tell you a little story, and I want your opinion of this. In 2000, I went to Sherikov Island, just off of Kodiak Island in Alaska. I went there because the Fish and Wildlife wanted to remove 1,500 cows from 33,000 acre island. I opposed that. Well, I went to help them figure out how to do it. And then I decided after two trips, they should stay there. That's not my story. The story is that if you look at the history of Alaska and World War II, it was very instrumental in tracking particularly Japanese or any Eastern Europe airplanes coming into the United States to our west. And so if you go look, there was an anti-air tracking area on the north end of this island, which I'm going to estimate to be about a section, 640 acres. And I was on a four-wheeler and I came up on this north part of this island, and all of a sudden it was kind of like I come up on this week in the fire damage of Nebraska. It looked like I just rolled onto the moon. There was an area where there was beautiful grass and then no grass, just dirt. And in the middle of this dirt, just this whole 640 acres, I'm estimating that, was this tower that was 6 feet tall. And I have a picture, but the problem is back in that day, we didn't have digital pictures. I had a camera and I got a printed out picture somewhere I could find it, where I'm standing next to this 6-inch high pillar of dirt with a little clump of grass on top of it. And I started deducing and reading, and I learned that there was some forever chemical for real that was used in that anti-air tracking station. And for that little part where the grass was still growing on that tower, which was like 3 feet in diameter and 6 feet tall, because I'm standing next to it, the rest was erosion. And that's how much had it eroded. And I never did. And I always want to go look at what were the chemicals used at that point in time.
Well, Alaska is unique. We, being married to the military, we were privileged to be stationed there. And Alaska is just a unique place. Unique. I'm sure that there was a lot of climate and air and volcanic activity and earthquakes and everything going on that influences everything there. So I can't answer that totally. I do know that the carbon fluoride bond is one carbon, which is in everything. And fluoride. And where do you find fluoride besides your city drinking water? And that is rocks. So looking at my own personal lake outside of my window, it is an old rock quarry, so it's lined with rocks. Every time the wave hits that rocks, it bleeds off fluoride into the water. So going back to arguing with God, you know, he corrects everything in the end. So obviously forever isn't forever if it's breaking off and ending up into our soil. But right. This goes back to that whole argument of evolution, right? I mean, the world is very, very scary if you absolutely believe that the world is millions of years old. Then everything works so slowly, and what you do right there is going to last beyond your lifetime, perhaps forever, because it's too slow to recover. But if the world is only 6,000 years old, and if you farm and you've seen it with your own eyes, the land recovers a lot faster, and life always prevails in some way or another, and the world isn't that scary anymore. And so I can't jump into the hype of forever chemicals. I can also say, if you compare salt to now and then, life expectancy has not shrank or reduced based on how much salt we have added or eliminated from our diet. There are still people that live to be 70, 80, and 90 years old 40 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. So I don't think any of us are getting out of this alive. And I think we spend a little bit too much time trying to avoid death that we forget how to live. And we take each other's rights in the name of sparing my own.
The other thing that I worry about, the other thing that I spend time trying to figure out what level of concern we should have, is that everybody wants to point to food as the poisoning aspect.
Yeah.
Without any regard to that we are, our human body is some electrical magnetic force. And we are putting every type of gamma ray and X-ray and frequency in the atmosphere, assuming that it's the food that's causing a problem. If we have more cancer, if we have more Alzheimer's, it's never the frequency that was just put outside of my home.
Or any, I mean, there's so many variable factors in there. You could, how much does volcanic activity affect our daily life? You know, and all of those things and aspects come into play there. So, yeah, I fully understand what you're saying there. But does that not go back to evolution again? Do we believe that the world is millions of years old? And if so, then life is very scary and change happens too slow. But if we believe that it ends, you know, or it's only 6,000 years old, then life isn't so scary. The world adapts and everything survives changes rather quickly. So my biggest argument is that if you are an environmentalist, climate zealot, can I say that word?
Yeah.
Then obviously you're not Christian, because it contradicts each other based on that timeline. It's something that I say quite often. So I don't I don't have all the answers. I understand the concern. I don't use nonstick pans for that reason. I'm not a big makeup user, although I confess I do use foundation. But I do understand the concern, and I think that if we're going to be concerned about it, then we ought to look for ways to prevent it from hitting our poop rather than trying to eliminate poop, because you can't eliminate poop without eliminating people.
And ultimately, that appears to be some individual's goal. Angel
Yes.
Cushing, we're going to do it more often. I'm pursuing you.
Okay.
And I recognize that we all are busy and we don't really take the time to look at how these incremental little movements are happening, which is going to cripple our food supply. We are crippling food and fuel, and we become a tremendous fuel producer, exporter, the largest exporter in the world. And we import $50 billion more in agricultural products than we export. All of this ties into this concept, actually, about demonizing fertilizer and crippling the infrastructure of food production. Thankfully, we have people like Angel Cushing who are out there. You remember, I just want to bring this to your attention before we close up here today. Angel Cushing was the one that got involved from Emporia, Kansas, because the town itself wanted to enact regulations for the entire Lyon County area that barbed wire fences, that fencing your property was illegal. Whoever came up with the plan that a city, and this is exactly what is happening all across this country, an attack on animal ownership, because if you haven't seen, now I recognize the Farm Bill has a component of eliminating hunting. That's in the Farm Bill. And we have this Trump, USDA, Pam Bondi, Bobby Kennedy, Brooke Rollins campaign to end dog breeding. At what point do we recognize they're coming after us? Thank you, Angel Cushing. We have successfully journeyed down the path connecting food producers to food consumers. For Angel Cushing, I'm Trent Luce, both of us reminding you, all roads do indeed lead to a roll route.